It's time for Hog Sports Live from HogSports.com, a division of 24/7 Sports, presented by Crane Automotive. The Crane Team's got them. Visit them online at craneteam.com. And now with the latest breaking updates on Hog Sports, here's Trey Biddy.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. There's a lot going on in some of the sports you don't think about a whole lot. Golf, softball, track and field. We'll update on some of the things going on there. Of course, baseball with the final home series this weekend against Oklahoma, and basketball still on the search for a big man. And, you know, we're always going to talk football, and there's a lot of discussion going on around the college football playoff and it being expanded. Is all this stuff a good thing for Arkansas athletics in the future? So far, it hasn't been. We'll discuss all that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. While with prices at the pumps, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one today at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
Okay, so Arkansas baseball with a series coming up this weekend against Oklahoma, number 24 ranked Oklahoma, Friday, May 8th. That's on SEC Network. These are all on SEC Network Plus, but Friday, May 8th at 6 o'clock, Saturday at 2, and Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is the last one, maybe the last time you see Arkansas in person, at least in Baum Walker, unless, what do they have to do? 5-1, sweep Oklahoma, win the series at Kentucky next weekend ahead of the SEC tournament. You know, maybe that would be enough, short of winning the tournament, but maybe that would be enough going 5-1 in these next six games. A lot of people think that would probably do it. I think Kevin Bohannon is kind of skeptical on that, but that's where things are right now. Arkansas is currently ranked 17th. They are 13-11. Right in the middle of the pack, number 8 right now in the standings, tied technically with Alabama and Florida right now. So that's where things stand with Arkansas baseball. Arkansas softball, there's no television for this, but they beat Mississippi State yesterday 3-0, and they play number 2 seed Alabama today at 1 o'clock. So just here in a little bit, they'll face Alabama. That is Central Time. And then if they win there, then they play the winner of Auburn, Florida. And if they win there, then the championship game is Saturday, May 9th. No TV for any of this for softball. So, and Alabama's pretty good. Okay, so track and field. Let's see, Doug Case and Chris Johnson's teams. The SEC championships are just a week away. Thursday, May 14th, those begin. So, of course, Arkansas is the defending indoor champions. What did Arkansas women finish? They finished second in the indoor, but Arkansas won the indoor in Doug Case's first go at it at the indoor. So, that's what's going on in track and field. Arkansas is a big favorite to win the national championship for outdoor. They have like, what do they have? Like, I think 22 outdoor championships, 22 like indoor championships, and I think 10 outdoor. So the majority of them have been, you know, in the indoor. Chris Bucknam won two, both indoor in 13 and 23. And then Doug Case won this year in his first year. I think Chris Johnson, didn't he win 24? In his first year with the women? You know, Arkansas is interesting. I was looking at this. They are the only team in the SEC without like an overall coach, a director of track and field. They still split the men's and women's. Of course, they have the best track and field program in the country. And they're the only one that continues to split it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Hey, I want to tell you about Ozarks Go real quick. If you're looking for fast, consistent, reliable internet service, you can reach out to them at 479-684-4900 and find out if they're available in your area. Think Northwest Arkansas, parts of Oklahoma, north of the tunnel. You can also go to www, the World Wide Web, ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G, and find out all the information you need. And it's a local company, so when you call, you're going to talk to somebody who knows what I mean when I say north of the tunnel or knows your area, because you're not going to get shipped off to some call center. They're not going to jack your rate up from year one to year two. You're just going to get steady, consistent internet service like I have for, 5 years now. Golf. So the women are in the Simpsonville Regional, also called the Louisville Regional. There's six for both men's and women. There's six regionals, and Arkansas is a one seed. And that begins May 11th. It runs May 11th through 13th. This is a long deal. It's like almost 2 weeks of golf. You know, you got 54 holes, and then, you know, you advance past that to the next round, and you got 54, and then another round to get you to – I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. And then you got match play after that. But you got five players on each team, and then you have individuals. And so the top five teams from the regional advance to the next round, and the individual that wins also will advance to the next round. The men's, Arkansas is the one seed in Corvallis, Oregon. Arkansas is number six nationally there, and they are a one seed also in the Corvallis regional. So both men's and women's are one seeds. Pretty cool. Arkansas has not hosted a regional since 2013. It's been a long time. I don't know if they're on the docket to host another one, but it'd be cool to get them back for a regional. This is on Golf Channel, men's and women's. You can watch this, both those on Golf Channel. Again, that's May 11th through the 13th for the women for this regional, and then May 18th through 20 for the boys. There is a petition out there to reinstate men's and women's track. Right now, I'm looking at change.org. There's 4,900 verified signatures on this. As we know, men's and – did I say track? Tennis. Men's and women's – they're not getting rid of track. Men's and women's tennis obviously was – got the axe. This has been a couple of weeks ago now. And I guess just to save money, save $2.5 million or so. You wonder also, like, what's that property worth? Like, what are they going to do with the property where the tennis facilities are? You got to think it's kind of valuable. So anyway, there is a swelling of support. I don't think it's going to be anything that brings men's and women's tennis back, but there is a swelling of support. And, you know, the argument for it makes a lot of sense. You know, if we want to talk about this world of college athletics, like, that's not what athletics in college used to be. It used to be about, you know, providing opportunities, competition, you know, student athletes and stuff like that. And that's just not where we are anymore. And, you know, I was listening to Josh Pate this morning, taking my daughter to school on Chuck and Bo. And I thought he made some, you know, really interesting points about, you know, schools out there talking about, like, if we don't do this, and we'll talk about playoff expansion and stuff, but if we don't do this, then we're going to be broke. Like, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars these schools are raking in, and they're talking about being broke, and it's mainly because of, you know, having to pay these salaries and all this stuff for these players and stuff. And you wish there just could be something that could be done. And the reality is, anything you try to do is met with a lawsuit. You can't even enforce rules anymore. It's just, the whole thing is just gotten absolutely ridiculous. And I blame the NCAA for letting it get to this point. If they'd, a long time ago, you know, we were all mostly in agreement that these athletes should be paid, but this isn't what we had in mind, the NIL thing. Like, this isn't what we, like, I mean, you got basketball players that are making more money than they would in the NFL by getting drafted. Like, it wasn't long ago we were talking about maybe they can get $500,000 to get Ron Holland here so they can at least compete with the G League. Now it's like competing with the first round of the draft. You got players that are projected first round draft picks saying, I'm coming back to college. That didn't used to happen until, I mean, like back in the 90s was the last time that ever happened. Somebody's getting drafted in the first round, deuces. I mean, you're gone. And now it's like, well, I got a decision to make. Do I want to go to the NBA for $2 million a year? Or do I want to go to college for $3 million a year, $4 million a year, or whatever? And also play 30 games, 35 games versus playing 82 and then the playoffs. I mean, what is happening? And John Calipari said it best when he was talking about, you know, you got a guy out there, you know, I mean, a lot of guys got full-grown beards in their 20s, but he's got a beard and he's using his NIL money to pay the alimony for his second wife, for his first wife. He's waving to his kids in the stands. Like, that's where we are in college basketball. Guys making millions upon millions of dollars. And these guys should be making some money, obviously, but, like, it's got to be different. Like, this arms race, and there's no salary cap or anything because it's through NIL, which isn't a real thing. NIL, like, and you got to support the collectives. You got to support, you know, Choose Arkansas and, you know, the link use system and all that kind of stuff, because that's the nature of the beast we are in right now. But NIL, like, it's not NIL. Paying somebody to come to your school and then figuring out a way for them to endorse something, products and stuff on social media, that's not what NIL is. It's not real. NIL is, hey, we think you can sell this pen. Sell me this pen. We think you can sell this pen, and we're going to pay you to do so, and we don't really care where you go to school as long as you don't say anything inflammatory or, you know, make a fool of yourself and have high morals. That's what NIL is. We want your name, image, and likeness to support this product, not to support this athletic program, and then we'll figure out the product thing later. All right. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and even though he comes up with one excuse after another not to play golf with me, when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I still called Bill Armstrong Insurance. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like Auto Owners Insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Bill Armstrong direct, other than a 1-800 number. Auto Owners Insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Bill Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit Bill Armstrong Insurance, well, at ba-ins.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like you, trust people like Bo to work for you. Bill Armstrong Insurance, coverage you need, people you trust. I'm calling you out, Bo. You want a piece of me on the golf course? Come meet me. Okay, John Calipari, back to some of the stuff that he was saying. So we know the NCAA is talking about expanding the NCAA tournament to 76 teams. Utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. It's nonsense that it's 68 teams right now anyway. I don't ever watch those play-in games. Aside from like accidentally coming across one, I've never sat down and watched a play-in game. I will watch a ton. Once you get to the round of 64, I'm watching as many games as I possibly can. But I never watch those other games because they're not NCAA tournament games, in my opinion. They're play-in games. And this is ridiculous. It has nothing to do, but it's money. It's not a good as the enemy of great situation. The NCAA tournament is the greatest tournament in all of sports as it stands. And it was that when it was 64. Going to 68 didn't change anything. It didn't make anything better. It just figured out ways to get more Power 5 teams in because we got to respect these conference tournaments for all these other deals. The chase for the tournament means something. Watch it, looking at the standings, looking at, you know, the net rankings and where everybody else, bracketology and all that stuff, where you stand, what you got to do to improve your seed, all that kind of stuff. Expanding to 76 teams is absurd. in my opinion. I like the 12-team playoff also in football. And we'll get to some of the discussion around that, because you talk about really ridiculous. That's insane what they're talking about now. Calipari says, don't screw it up. Leave it alone. What we got to get in check is the transfer rules. Absolutely. This just shows where the priorities are right now. We've got all this issues with transfer rules. We've got NIL issues and stuff, and now we're talking about expanding the playoff to 76 teams because we want some more money. That's what it comes down to. It doesn't have anything to do with improving the game. And something that I've said before, when it comes to football and it comes to basketball, what we're seeing lately in college sports is a complete disregard for protecting the fan interest in games. Fans are frustrated, and partially Arkansas fans are frustrated just because of the state of the program right now and not keeping up with NIL and, you know, the rich seem to get richer, all that kind of stuff. But you have to protect certain things. You have to protect the athletes. You used to call them student athletes. I don't even call them that anymore. I mean, if they were student athletes, like, where are the guys that are ineligible academically? There used to be a guy every year who didn't make his grades, who messed around and didn't make grades and end up having to get shipped off to junior college or something like that, or just, you know, had to sit out or something like that. It used to happen all the time. When's the last time you heard about a player not making grades? They all make grades. They've got a system. They've got it all figured out. Yes, you've got great academic, you know, Jerry and Gene Jones Student Athlete Success Center. Maybe it's because that went in. And that's just changed the game for everybody. But you don't ever hear about somebody not making their grades anymore. I can remember years ago about, you know, raising academic standards, you know, and you know, making this more difficult stuff. I mean, you just don't hear about that anymore. So these athletes, you've got to protect the athletes, okay? And yes, money helps. Some of the financial numbers have gotten just absolutely insane. And it's not so much that they're insane. It's just that there's no structure. There's nobody, like, if you want some more parity in college football and basketball and such, you know, you've got to have, like, salary caps and stuff. You've got to be able to protect these institutions. So you got to protect the athletes. You got to protect the coaches, the staff, the administration. You've got to protect the people working around. Okay? You have to protect the integrity of the game. If people feel like there's not integrity or balance in the game, then they'll lose interest. And if you don't think people could ever lose interest in college football, look at boxing right now. What's more popular, boxing or MMA? I haven't looked it up, but I can just tell you, MMA. UFC is more popular than boxing, in my opinion. It just surpassed it. You go back years ago, baseball, boxing, horse racing, those were the most popular sports. It can change if you're not protecting. And I thought Josh Pate made a great point. Like, you've got people that aren't worried about it. They're worried about the money, and if it collapses, and they'll move on to the next money-making thing. So you have to protect that. You have to protect the integrity of the game. You have to protect the people working around and in and around the program. You have to protect the athletes. You've got to protect the fans, and nobody is looking out for the fans. For years, nobody looks out for the fans. Nobody's worried about how much you have to pay for all this stuff. Ticket prices just keep going up. Concessions are ridiculous. I talked about $13 pretzels. You know, I know pretzels are $13. We used to get, like, they used to cater to the media. You know, you'd get, you know, food and stuff. And, you know, it wasn't anything spectacular, but it was fine. It was nice. You get some pasta, you get some burgers or something. They've got a little thing, you know, catered out there. Maybe pizza, you know. And you used to have that, but they changed that to vouchers for $12. So I've got two vouchers in my wallet that I haven't even used, but these are basketball games. So I go up to the window, and now they're down to 10. The last one I got was $10. They knocked it down to $10. Not that I care, whatever. I'm just making a point here. I'm not complaining about, you know, what we get for free and what we don't. You know, that's not the point here. But this is how I know that pretzels are $13, because I went up with one of those $12 vouchers and got a pretzel, and, you know, the fixings and whatnot, and it was $13 something for a pretzel. Concessions are outrageous. ticket prices. You got to donate before you even get a ticket. You've got to become a Razorback Foundation member. You know, all the stuff that they're asking for, and it's just part of it. Everybody else around the country is doing it, but so much of the stuff that they're asking fans to do, and for what? What's the product? What's on the other end of it? Two wins in football? Getting the crap kicked out of you? Embarrassed? Laughed at? ESPN comes out with a deal with offseason moves, and it's got 16 SEC teams ranked based on their offseason moves, and Arkansas is 16th. Not because Arkansas is actually 16th, just because it's easy to put Arkansas 16th. Just like it's going to be easy to put Arkansas at 15th or 16th at SEC Media Days when the media predicts things. Just easy to put Arkansas at the bottom. So you're shelling out all this money for a product that, what are we doing? Like, what are we really doing? You know? And at the same time, we're complaining because we're cutting tennis and trying to save $2.5 million, you know, which is a drop in the bucket. I mean, things have gotten better, like in terms of support and stuff, and I'll go into that here in a little bit. Like, things have gotten better, but not better enough. We'll talk about some of the things Arkansas has to do to get things back on track. And the frustrating thing for me, like, you know, because I can't get away from it. I don't want to get away from it because I love it. It's my thing. But, man, when I post these videos, like, the comments are just awful. Like, it sucks. Like, 3-7 incoming. You know, are people already making fun of Ryan Silverfield? And he ain't even done anything yet. Like, giving it, like, calling it, making up names about, you know, he's got a new name or something, like some mocking name, or, you know, talking about how terrible Arkansas is going to be. And it didn't used to be like that. It used to be people would find positives or hope, or, you know, they may be pissed after a game, but by Wednesday, they're, you know, coming up with reasons why they can beat Georgia, you know, like that's how it used to be. It used to have some more positivity. And, you know, that's one of the things I always say with Razorback football and basketball, like, you know, wouldn't it be nice to complain about how they won a game? I guess we're always going to complain. Alabama fans complain, you know, about winning 10 games. So anyway, I didn't intend to go on that little rant there, but Arkansas basketball still working to find a big man. The latest move was Mika Murinen, which was huge. 6'11", 7 foot, 223. I love this kid. I mean, he is such an athlete. He's such an athlete. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Jordan Smith, Abdul Toure, J.J. Andrews, Mika Murinen out of that freshman class. You know, Jeremiah Wilkinson. I mean, that's Arkansas's best transfer addition. They also got Cooper Bowser. But we're talking about like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys right now that you would say on the roster are playing. 6. You know, Paulo Semedo. I mean, he's a developmental guy, but is he playing? Is he going to be a big contributor? Isaiah Seely, is he going to play more than he did last year? I don't think you're going to see a lot of action out of those two guys. You still got Malik Thomas. You still got Billy Richmond as possibilities. You still got Malik Ewan as a possibility. He's in the transfer portal. He hasn't committed anywhere. He's got to get a waiver still. So you still got Malik Ewan as a possibility. You still got Billy Richmond. You still got Malik Thomas. But at this point, I'm just like, figure out whatever you can to get Malik Ewan back. He's probably the best option. I mean, he is. He's the best option that they have out there at center. This is not where Arkansas intended to be. I mean, you look at who they went after, like the names that popped up early. Where's my list of names? The names that pop. Okay, here it is. Samto Cyril, Muhammad Silla, Mustafa Cham, Obina Aziki. These are the top names that were popping up, and now they're all kind of gone. Hey, Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app, and they just ended their deal where you can sign up, bet $25, and get $250 back. But I've got a secret, because you can use my promo code and still get that. You can use BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY 250. Sign up at Bet Saracen and bet $25 on your first bet, and you will get $250 back in bonus bucks to use on Bet Saracen. So pretty sweet deal to sign up at Bet Saracen right now using that promo code BIDDY250. Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident it's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
All right, Bet Saracen, Arkansas's number one sports betting app. So the names out there, Luigi Suigo, 7'3", 240-pounder from, where was he playing, in Serbia last season? Averaged 8.1 points, 5.3 rebounds. Like, this is where it's at right now. It's like either Malik Ewan or, like, well, maybe there's somebody in Europe, you know, somebody overseas that can help him, you know? Maybe it's like blue chips. You go find Shaq down in the bayou. You know, he seems to be an option for him, 7'3", 240. The kid from Florida, Micah Handlogden, who also needs a waiver. Yeah, he had like 5.3 rebounds. I know those guys are like difference makers, but you got to have some guys that can at least play. I mean, Nick Pringle wasn't a difference maker for him, you know. You can get a guy that's better than Pringle. So, anyway, that's where things are. They've got a roster, man. They just don't have that guy down low. And that was the thing that we talked about all season last year. If they just had a big, what would that team have been last year if they just had a big? Handlogden, that's how you say it, pronounce it right. So his waiver, he's looking at something from 24-25 when they won the national championship, looking to get a waiver from that year. He averaged 4.1 points and 5.9 rebounds last season, averaged 14.8 minutes. Like, I mean, this guy can play here, but is he a difference maker, you know? Not that everybody's going to be a difference maker, but they've got to have somebody who's a presence down low in the post. One of the questions I have asked recently, maybe the week, I mean, the whole defense was weak. They didn't have any depth last year. Switching over to football for those not following. They didn't have any depth last year on the defensive line, and the secondary was abysmal. And I was going back and looking over some of the numbers and stuff with this secondary. Did you know that they had two interceptions last year in SEC play and against Notre Dame? Two forced interceptions last year. That's insane. That is pathetic. One of the numbers that really jump out for each player who started in the secondary, that's Kenai Walker, Julian Neal, Jordan Young, Caleb Wooden, and Larry Worth, is dramatically slow 40 times. Like, we don't do 40s anymore, which I think is stupid that we don't. Like, everybody's like, we want to know their peak speed. We've got a satellite in outer space, and it measures how fast you are in miles per hour. And nobody really loves that. Like, does anybody like, what's his peak speed? Is anybody like wondering what somebody's peak speed is, what they can do miles per hour wise? I'm not. I want to know a 40 time. That's what I'm familiar with. Well, when do you ever run 40 yards in football? It doesn't make any sense. Well, when you punt the ball, everybody's got to run about 40 yards downfield. Wide receivers and cornerbacks run 40 yards. And maybe I don't care about a defensive lineman if he can do 40 yards. Maybe I want to know about the 10-yard burst. But a lot of people run 40 yards in football. It is a useful metric, and it always has been until just recently. And we get to the NFL Combine, and we really don't have any idea what to expect from these guys because we know that they're, you know, they ran 20.4 miles an hour. Kenai Walker ran a 4.57, starting cornerback at Arkansas. 4.57. Julian Neal, even though he was the number 99 pick overall in the draft, first Razorback off the board, ran a 4.49. He's the only guy in the secondary started last year who started, you know, most of the games. If you start seven games or more, I consider you a starter. He's the only guy who ran a sub 4.5. Jordan Young was Arkansas's starting nickel and ran a 4.78 40-yard dash at Arkansas Pro Day. Starting nickel. Jordan Young, 4.78. Caleb Wooden, starting safety, 4.69, almost as bad. Larry Wirth, who can jump out of the gym, only ran a 4.66. These are abysmal 40 times. This may be like the slowest 40 times since like the 1960s, if they ran 40s then, for a secondary at Arkansas. That's embarrassingly slow. How slow was it, Trey? Well, you had guys that play on the defensive line. At the NFL Combine, there were 13 guys, 13 defensive ends, who ran a faster 40-yard dash than Young did. That's just at the Combine, just the guys that invited to the Combine. 10 ran faster than Wooden, 7 ran faster than Worth, 3 ran faster than Walker, and Penn State defensive tackle Zane Durant, at 290 pounds, ran a faster 40 time than Young. The fastest 40 time among a cornerback was a 4.32 by the kid at Missouri, Toriano Pride. Lorenzo Styles Jr. at Ohio State ran a 4.27, fastest time among safeties. Arkansas's two starting safeties ran a 4.66 and a 4.69. Now, there's only one guy back in the secondary from last year, and that's Miguel Mitchell. Miguel was actually the fastest guy on his – he started three games for him last year. Didn't have great results last year, though, but he was the second fastest guy on the team, tied with Mike Washington. Mike Washington ran a 22.3 mile per hour time. C.J. Brown was the fastest, 22.4 peak speed. That doesn't mean they're going to run a 4.33 in the 40-yard dash like Mike Washington did, but it does mean you're going to run sub 4.5 somewhere in there, probably in the 4.4 range at least. So Miguel Mitchell is fast, and it's crazy. He's like 220 pounds. You know, he's a big guy. So that was a major problem with the secondary last year. So are they better? I think they're better at cornerback. I think they're better at safety, but not I don't know that they're dramatically better at safety just because, well, Christian Harrison, I think, is. You know, Christian Harrison's dad, Rodney Harrison, you guys remember him, who were, you know, my age or maybe a little younger, played 15 years in the NFL, won two Super Bowls with New England. He's the first, I don't know if he's the only guy, but he's the first guy to ever record 30 sacks and 30 interceptions. He's the NFL all-time leader in sacks amongst defensive backs. Good bloodlines. I mean, Christian started all 12 games for Cincinnati last year. He started against Arkansas when he was at Tennessee in the game in Fayetteville. By the way, he started at Star, so he can play both spots. But he's the one guy I look at safety and go, okay, there's a guy right there. But, you know, everybody else, I'm just kind of, you know, Kiari McGlure from West Georgia, is he going to be a guy? Miguel Mitchell, is a different look at coaching. Does that change things? Is he going to be better? Like, you know, I don't look at safety and be like, yes, they're in really good shape here. Cornerback, I think they're okay, actually. You got Lakai Rowland. You've got Joker Johnson, Shelton Lewis, Braden Lee, who was banged up a little bit in the spring. You know, I feel DJ Harrison. You've got some guys, I think, there at corner. So you should – and I'm not saying, like, you're going to be, like, elite or upper half of the SEC even, but I think you're going to be better at cornerback. You got to pick up turnovers. You got to pick up in those categories. I mean, just absolutely – pathetic what Arkansas was last year in terms of turnover. If Arkansas is not such a bad turnover and penalty team, they probably would have gone to a bowl game. Like, it wasn't a disaster on offense except for the turnovers and the pre and post snap penalties. Defense was a different story, but it seemed like when defense gave you a stop finally, like, it was like the offense wasn't there because they had so many third quarter lapses. They just completely would disappear in the third quarter. Anyway, just a few thoughts on the secondary. It's kind of under the idea of, can it get any worse? I want to switch over real quick to this playoff expansion talk real quick, because is there any reason on earth to go to 24 teams? Is there a shot in hell for the 24th ranked team in the country to win the national championship, or are we just trying to make some more money? I do think it diminishes. Like, we're talking right now, like you pretty much need to win. You pretty much need to lose no fewer than two games. You might squeak in if you lose three to the 12-team field right now. You expand it to 16, there'll be some teams with three losses here and there. You expand it to 24, there'll be teams with four losses. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't think that you have a shot in hell as the 20. You don't have a shot in hell if you're not in a major conference. Like, I'm all for, like, letting one team in, you know, the Cinderella, the Hickory from Hoosiers, letting one team in the college football playoff from a non-major conference. But Tulane, Boise State, like, these teams have no shot in hell at winning the national championship. And probably should have their own deal. Yeah, can they beat a Power Four team? Yeah. Can they beat Ohio State or Georgia in the college football playoff? No. No chance. Why are we expanding this? It's stupid. It's really stupid. The teams that win the national championship right now are teams from major conferences, teams that are generally ranked, you know, somewhere in the top 10 minimum. I think Ohio State won when they were, you know, a little bit lower. But, like, it's all about money. It's not about, like, this is going to make things so much better, so much more fun. Now, is it better for Arkansas? Sure. Gives Arkansas a better chance to make the college football playoff. I just don't like diminishing it. I don't feel like this is, and I'm all for, like we were talking for years, like, they need to have a college football playoff. Like, let's get eight teams. Like, that was kind of the discussion, like, eight teams, you know, and, you know, they came out with a plus one. But they're going to expand this. This is what the coaches are, like, recommending. When they're talking, the SEC wants 16. The Big 12 wants 24. The coaches seem to want 24 overall. They're going to expand this. Whenever they start talking about it, they eventually expand. It's kind of like, you know, with Arkansas, like when they first said, well, you know, we're going to play some in-state schools. We'll play teams that are in the Arkansas system. We're not playing Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas State's not in the University of Arkansas system. Like, what? It's just so stupid. Like, they think you're dumb. People think that fans are stupid, I guess. It's kind of like Jerry Seinfeld when he's talking about, like, you're watching, you know, TV and it's got, like, Pepto-Bismol or Imodium or some kind of, like, medicine or something, and it, like, shows the person and they're like this. Like, it's just the outline and food, like, stuff's going in the mouth, because that's how the medical community sees the public. That's how you are. That's how they see you. Just sitting there waiting. Give me your money. Give me your attention. So, we got to talk about Blakeman's real quick, because Blakeman's is a great place for Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is coming up this weekend. So, if you've messed up and you haven't taken care of this already, just know that Blakeman's, you can shop online there. They offer free delivery if you can't make it to their new store. And by the way, they had an outstanding year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers, and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry. They'll offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is also offered in various stores in Northwest Arkansas. Another nice Mother's Day idea. If you can't make it, did you know you could also shop them online, as I mentioned, blakemansfinejewelry.com. So start thinking about Mother's Day if you haven't already. You're late to that, but Blakeman's can help save you there with an amazing gift, you know, homeware, jewelry, all that stuff. Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Good folks at Blakeman's. Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit. I want to talk about the schedule for football. I hate when people say that. Just start talking about it, Trey. I want to talk about today on today's show. I want to talk about the schedule for Arkansas football. It's like, it's important as a media person to be concise and get a lot of information out in a short amount of time. I hate when people beat around the bush. Today, I'm going to talk about the schedule. The Arkansas football schedule starts off with North Alabama. So, North Alabama obviously should win that one. The Utah game at Utah, can't wait to go to Salt Lake, at Utah is going to be the biggest game on the schedule. And the reason it's the biggest game is because you have a team of 60-plus new players, 42 transfer additions, and the buy-in and the bond on the team is shallower than it would be in the old days. As we saw last year, when you're building a team through recruiting classes, these guys are coming up together. Everybody knows everybody's name. I mentioned on Drive Time yesterday, but I guarantee you, you can go up to a player who just transferred in and ask him, pick out, you know, a dozen players, and I bet he doesn't know several of them. I bet he can't tell you their names. And we don't think about it like that, you know, with college football. We just think all these guys are, you know, bonded and together and stuff. There's players that don't know each other on this team still. Now, they work to figure that out. They've got them on separate teams. You know, they've got the Silverbacks and what are some of the team names? The Hogs, it's not SEAL Team 6. Hog Team 6 is one of them. They've got, you know, just all these different teams, and they, you know, create competition, and their player, you know, they've got defensive linemen and running backs and punters all together on a team, you know, stuff like that. So to mix it up, which is a good thing. I commend them for coming up, you know, thinking outside the box. How do we join these guys together? But that Utah game, you win that game, you beat North Alabama, you beat Utah. Nobody's going to project them to beat Georgia, but if they can play, you know, somewhat competitively, and then they beat Tulsa. Okay. If you can start off 3-1, that's on the table potentially. I don't know how good Utah is. Nobody knows how good anybody is, but that's on the table. If you can start off 3-1, then you can build that bond. These coaches know what they're talking about. They've got us in the right position. These coaches are calling good plays. You ever watch the Burlsworth movie and it's Clint Sterner, the guy that's playing Clint Sterner? I wonder if Clint just hates that character. These coaches don't know what they're doing. They ain't calling good plays. I'm going to need to ask Clint what he thinks about his representation in that movie. Anyway. but you'll have that, like you build that. And it was never more evident than last year, wasn't it? And that's why I said so many times Arkansas will be a 4-8 team or an 8-4 team. And it can depend entirely on how the season starts. And I was mainly thinking about Ole Miss and Memphis. And the way those games ended couldn't have been worse. Fumbling the ball at the end, just sucking all the wind out of your program. Losing Ole Miss like that. Think about where those programs went, the different directions. And then you go into Memphis, you've lost all that momentum, you're deflated, and you lose the game the same damn way. And, you know, you give a little precursor that, hey, we can't stop anybody when we got to get the ball back. Happened at Tennessee also, where you put the ball on the ground like three times in that game and 5 minutes, 5:18 or something left in that game, and you couldn't stop and they just ran it down your throat and took the clock down, take the game away. That was defensive line and turnovers. So if you can win, you can protect the football. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what the important things and the ways that Arkansas can overcome some stuff, okay? And it's not just talent, because they're going to be out-talented by some teams. They're going to have equal talent as some or better than Tulsa or North Alabama, but they're not going to out-talent a lot of people. But you can still win. You can win with good players. You got to win with good players before you win with great. All right, so start off 3-1. At Texas A&M, that's going to be tough. They got a good team coming back. You know, they had a good year last year. Crazy things can happen. I'm interested in that Tennessee game. You know, Josh, what is Josh Heupel at right now? He's in his sixth year there. Is that 6 year? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 6 year coming up. So he's gone 7-6, 11-2. Peaked at 11-2, 9-4, 10-3. You went down a little bit at 8-5. This is a critical year for him. He can't go down again. He can't have like a 7-win type of season. So this is make or break year for Heupel. And history shows in most cases, it's time to break. Most coaches aren't going to last this long. So this is a key year. They're a little grumpy there, here and there. You hear some rumblings here and there. Although 2024, they did make the college football playoff. But Tennessee fans in their head, they are much better. Tennessee fans view themselves like as a blue blood type of program, even though, aside from just recently, you go back pre-Heupel, I mean, they were horrendous under Jeremy Pruitt. 5-7, 8-5, 3-7. I say horrendous like I'm one to talk. Arkansas's been awful. Butch Jones had a couple of good years, but mostly awful. Derek Dooley was terrible. Lane Kiffin came in for a year and left. Phil Fulmer's last year was 5-7. They went to the SEC championship game, didn't they, in 07? But they haven't really been, you know, they pop up here and there, but they, you know, they're not, they haven't been the program that they think that they are, you know, or that they have been. I mean, they have been. Vanderbilt. So say you could surprise Tennessee. You got that momentum going. You're 3-2 at this point. You lost at Texas A&M, and then you get Tennessee in Fayetteville, and then you get Vanderbilt at Nashville. Like Vanderbilt, yeah, they're a better program, but they don't have Diego Pavia. They're going to start a freshman at quarterback. You get Missouri on Halloween. You get a bye after Vanderbilt, and you get Missouri on Halloween. What's Auburn going to be? Total unknown. South Carolina is going to break this year. I think Shane Beamer breaks this year in a bad way. You get them on November 14th. You finish off at LSU and then at home against – at Texas and then at home against LSU. I mean, there's a path to get bowl eligible. I'm not predicting that. This is a very optimistic outlook. You know, that if they can start strong, then Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Auburn, South Carolina are on the table. That's not crazy. Maybe it's a little crazy. So how do you get there? Quarterback position is a major unknown. You got to be good at quarterback. You just do. The areas where Arkansas really lacked last year, like if they had Taylen Green back on this team and emphasized protecting the quarterback as much as Silverfield does in practice, I'd feel a little bit better about him. Even though he had complete lapses at times, I think he's a better option at quarterback than what they have right now. I think he's a better option than they have. I mean, obviously, he's a guy that was seen as good enough to get drafted in the NFL. I don't know if anybody on the roster right now, people are going, that guy one day is in the NFL. But it's an unknown at quarterback. But protecting the football was an issue. It was obviously an issue. They didn't force any turnovers. They only forced 8 turnovers all year. I mean, how is that even possible? 8 turnovers? I mean, they had the worst turnover margin in the SEC last year because they turned the ball over 20 times. It might have been 9 turnovers. I thought I had it written down here, but I don't. It's 8 or 9. I think it's 9. Lost 20 turnovers, gained 9. Worst turnover margin in the SEC. Memphis, by the way, the last 4 years under Ryan Silverfield has had the best turnover margin. It's the American Conference now. I guess they don't call it American Athletic, which that was a stupid name. American Athletic Conference, just call it the American Conference. Trying to confuse everybody that you're the ACC, you're the AAC. Anyway, they have never ranked lower than 4th in the conference in penalty yards under his leadership. Never less than 4th in penalty yards. In the, what was he there, 2020, I think, maybe he was hired. So there were also, so penalties and turnovers, I talk about it all the time. This is where you can make up for a lot. If you can win in these departments, you can be disciplined. And I don't just mean penalties overall, but pre-snap penalties or lack of focus. Post-snap penalties or lack of discipline. You're going to have pass interference. You're going to have holding calls. Stuff like that's going to happen. But pre-snap and post-snap penalties, you got to knock those down. That's about discipline and focus. Got to improve in those areas. Penalties and turnovers. You got to hold on to the football. I've mentioned several times, I watched, 12 practices this spring, all 12 open practices, and or was it 11? Might have been 11. But the amount of time they spent working on ball security and all the different drills that they're doing, like, I like that. I mean, if you don't have the football, then what do you have? Right? So, penalties and turnovers, got to win in those departments. And they can win in special teams. Like, you may not have as much talent on offense or defense, but you can put a big emphasis on special teams and succeed in those categories. They had some explosive play. Arkansas didn't have explosive play. They brought in Cam Shanks, who was like an All-American last year as a punt returner. He didn't do anything. He had a terrible year as a punt returner, and he was supposed to be like a big get in that department. He didn't do well at all. They had a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown by Sutton Smith, who's now on Arkansas's roster last year. They blocked a field goal. Gianni Spetic, their kicker, had a 55-yarder as halftime clock expired against Georgia State. So, I mean, they had some things. And we're talking about the American Conference. We're not talking about the SEC. But hopefully, please, let those things translate over. Like, those are the things that you can control. You may not have as much talent, but you can control penalties. You can be a better turnover team. You can be smart with the football. And if you emphasize special teams, you can win. Now, don't emphasize kick return. Like, literally, I'm not even sure you should practice it that much. You should never be returning kickoffs unless you've got somebody that is just insane as a return man. Like, insane. You should never be returning kickoffs unless somebody, like, low and short, something like that. I get that. But if that ball is anywhere near the goal line, don't return it. Makes no sense. Okay. Questions? Gumpster 117 says, the SEC TV contract ends in 2034. What do you think the big three sports will look like then? Do you think it'll be more of the same or something new? Hopefully it's something new. I mean, basketball is fine, trending in the right direction. Baseball needs an influx of NIL. They're not going to get the revenue sharing money. They need people to support it through NIL. And Dave Van Horn deserves that. I don't want to tell people how to spend their money, but baseball programs got to be supported. Baseball is not going to get that stuff because they lose, over $3 million a year. It's not a revenue generating sport. It doesn't draw the same level of popularity. Like, I mean, you've got this weekend, 17 Arkansas versus 24 Oklahoma, and all three games are on SEC Network Plus. Because it doesn't have the same. Can you imagine if Arkansas was ranked 17th in football playing 24 Oklahoma? A lot more eyeballs on that game if it was in football. Baseball, people outside of Arkansas and Oklahoma don't really care about that game. So it doesn't draw the same TV revenue. Like football, I see a good matchup. I'm like, I'm going to watch that game. And maybe that's just me too. I'm a big football guy, not as big on baseball. But as far as baseball goes, like, I'll be damned if I watch a single SEC baseball game. I mean, I watched a little bit. What was it, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, just because it was on at Back Nine Golf where I was hitting some balls the other day, which is in Fayetteville. You should go check it out. Go to theback9golf.com, and you can try a free demo. You got monthly plans. You can pay all at once for a year. Four hitting bays? Yeah, four hitting bays, massage chairs, pool tables, bring your own beer. You can walk in there with a handle of rum if you want to, if you're 21. So you don't have to, there's a bar and everything, but you can just pour your own drinks. Pretty good deal. Full swing simulators. Anyway, that's the only time I think I watched baseball outside of Arkansas. I mean, if, like, Arkansas gets knocked out of the College World Series, I'm not watching the rest of the College World Series. I might watch a highlight or two on ESPN or something. So, hopefully football's in a much better space. This stuff's cyclical, guys. Like, things happen. Things come around. Arkansas can get back, but the only cure for Arkansas is to get back to winning. That's the only cure. Once you win, things have a way of getting in the right spot. I mean, Army of Nabanunga says, Bideo, do you think it will be the usual or usually the exception or even the exact usability? You're an interesting person, Army. He also says, let's see your guns, Biddy. Do you skip? Nobody skips bicep day. People skip leg day, unless you're me. Let's see what a diet of kale and beans does to muscle mass. I'm not gonna flex the guns. I did have my annual exam. My LDL was way down, by the way. Thanks for asking. Joshua 11 says, Trey, if you could handpick someone to be next AD at Arkansas, who would it be? What are the characteristics that person must have? I have no idea. I mean, I would have to get into a point of like looking over resumes and stuff. Indiana's AD seems to be doing a good job. What's his name? I like people that have ties to Arkansas, but you don't have to. I mean, Frank Broyles didn't have ties to Arkansas, you know, when he came here. You know, a lot of people say Houston Nutt would make a great AD. Houston Nutt would make a great fundraiser. I don't know in this day and age, like the days of like being a former coach and turned AD or a coach AD, you know, the Barry Alvarezes of the world and the Frank Broyleses, those days are long gone. It's more about, you know, a CEO type position now. Army says, why do you hate the NCAA? They are being sued daily. Their only source of revenue is the NCAA tournament. I mean, but that's all they are. They're a tournament organizer. That's all they do. I don't know if hate's a strong word. I just don't think they have any backbone. I just don't think they have vision for the future. If they'd have just come out and said, instead of fighting this stuff, if they'd have said, you know what, we're going to allocate $10 million to student athletes. It probably wouldn't even had to be that much because people would have been like, okay. You know, and maybe that NIL fiasco stuff would never have happened because it's the NIL side of things that's gone crazy. Like if you said everybody can spend this amount of money on their roster, then we get back to people choosing teams because of the coaches, because of the school, because of the location, because they got a family friend there, because they're a legacy at that school. That's what I want to get back to. I want people to pick schools based on those criteria, not just who has the most money. And, you know, do they have the what I want to major in? You know, what's the academic situation look like? That's why I want people to pick schools. And you can also say it's always been imbalanced. I mean, people have been cheating for years. I mean, you have athletes coming out now saying, yeah, they paid me all this stuff because they don't care anymore. You know, I don't know if there's some kind of statute of limitations, but like Johnny Manziel's made it pretty clear that he was getting paid. And it's obvious, you know, and other people, you know, have suggested that too. But that's always kind of happened under the table. But and there's always been haves and have nots in football too. Like, you know, a lot of it always came down to you know, location. More than anything, like I say all that stuff, but at the same time, and I've made this point before, like NIL, like if Arkansas could embrace it, it is their ticket to having success in football. And it's a better ticket actually than the old model. And the reason is because of access to elite talent. And maybe that'll change in the future. Maybe it is changing, but in the past, if a four-star athlete lived in Tennessee and it came down to Tennessee and Arkansas, he's going to Tennessee. No question. He's going to Tennessee. Just the way it is. And there are more athletes in Tennessee than there are in Arkansas. There are more athletes in Mississippi than there are in Arkansas. Now, Mississippi's problem is there's a lot of places close, and they all pull out of Mississippi. If Mississippi locked its borders, you know, if recruiting was the same as it is. But in this day and age, NIL, Like if Arkansas could really embrace NIL and donate to NIL, and I know I'm talking out of both sides because it's not NIL. It's just the model that we have. But in this current model, if Arkansas had, you know, some support, more support from billionaires donating to NIL and the everyday fan donating to NIL, they could flip things. That's the only thing that's held Arkansas back. It's not the passion of the fan base. It's not support. It's not facilities. It's none of those things. It's access to elite talent that's been the problem. And NIL can kind of change that. They will expand it to 128 teams, and they need to if they want to survive. It's almost like you want them to dissolve. Natural State Sports says, how long do you think it could take Hank Hendricks to get up to college speed? When could we see? I mean, yes, he's a stud. He's so young. Army of Nabununga says, Big Bid, what's Mika Murinen's nickname? I mean, I don't love anybody calling themselves Slim Jesus. I don't know about that one. I don't know if that's going to catch on in Arkansas. How long do you think it could take Hank Hendricks to get up to speed? I mean, he's just going to be like a senior. I'd need to see it, but I think probably at least a year. Hogwild 97 says, if we win the Mega Millions, how much are we talking to buy a title, basketball or football? I mean, 40 million gets you in the discussion for football. For basketball, 18 million. Yeah, 18 million for basketball. Coltap says, what is the decision process for the NCAA for adjudication of waiver requests? It's so inconsistent. I have no idea. I have no idea what is on the NCAA's mind. A single point of failure with the authority approve or deny requests, or is there some sort of panel? I mean, there's also, it's basically like, am I going to get sued? I feel like, are we going to get sued over this? All right, folks, that's the show today. I went wire to wire for an hour and 3 minutes. No guests, just me and you talking, some rants. I don't understand how, like, we put a show together. We had some good topics and stuff. But I don't understand how people do a show every day with decent content 5 days a week. Certainly not just alone. It's a challenge this time of year. All right. That's the show. I hope you enjoyed it. I think it was better than the show we did a couple weeks ago where it's just, I don't know, not a couple weeks, but last week we did a show. Was it Ask Me Anything? I thought we'd get some really good discussion in there, some random stuff. What are you watching? You know, TV stuff. I have been watching the Game of Thrones, by the way. I've been rewatching it. I never went back and maybe I'll rewatch a episode a couple days later after it came out 15 years ago, but I never went back and rewatched it. And right now I just wrapped up season 2. The dude's talking about the House of the Undying. Why does he say it like that? Come visit us at the House of the Undying. Anyway, I just finished season 2. I started episode 1 of season 3. So I'm watching that. I'm watching The Boys on Prime. I mean, once you get past like all the political nonsense of it, you know, it's just kind of stupid. It's funny. I mean, if you just let it be funny. The Boys is very, very strange and interesting. It's on Prime. I watched DTF St. Louis, which was bizarre. I'm not sure if I enjoyed it or not. I don't know. It was fine. What else am I watching right now? Oh, I love Love on the Spectrum. It actually brings a tear to my eye sometimes. Makes me laugh and makes me cry. Sweet and funny. Love on the Spectrum on Netflix is not bad. It's not bad at all. Yeah, but we didn't have any of that kind of talk. I just kind of laid it over for people to ask me just about anything, and nobody really did ask any questions. So that's on you guys. That's on you guys. All right, Bo Biddle, if you want to play golf, hit me up. And I mean outdoor golf, but I will be warming up at the Back Nine Simulator. All right, hit me up. Just like everybody hits you up for car insurance, homeowners insurance, business insurance, all that stuff. You can drive your car over that you got from Crane. Because I know you guys are supporting our sponsors. All right, everybody. That's the show today. If you can't tell, I'm having a hard time finding the closing. There it is. We'll see you on Monday.